Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, this is Tobias Trevelyan, and you're hearing me on Stardish Radio.
This is Jean-Paul Lavoisier, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Tune in. It's a blast.
Hi, this is John Brotherton. You're listening to Stardish Radio. Have a wonderful night.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is September 23rd, and I'm your host, Joanne. Call-in number is 347-945-5423. Make sure everyone participates in the chat and call-in. Also, make sure you download and rate the show once we're finished. Tomorrow, 10 p.m., I'm going to have on Matt Borlenghi, who I think many people would probably remember him best as Brian Bodine on All My Children. He played the love interest for Kelly Ripa when she first started on the show. He's now going to be on Days of Our Lives as Anthony Marino, so make sure you tune in for that. You know, in the last 6 months, I've done interviews with many people from our favorite ABC soaps and other ones as well, and I've been fortunate enough to meet some wonderful people along the way, and, you know, maybe some not so wonderful, but we're focusing on the wonderful tonight. Back on Stardish for a second time, I would love to welcome one of those people that I am so fortunate to have met, Eileen Kristen. Welcome back, darling.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
How are you, honey?
I'm doing good, actually. I'm doing really, really pretty good. Really
well,
pretty
that's
good.
What I want to hear.
Yeah.
So tell me what's good, girl.
Well, you know, this video I did with William Gallison for Barack Obama is getting a lot of notice.
Yes, I passed that around like candy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Much. And we're up to like 56 or 57,000 hits.
Oh, okay.
But the wonderful thing is that people are getting it from other sources that I didn't send it to them, and all of a sudden someone is like calling me out of the blue and going, "Oh my God, my aunt just sent this to me." So it's really, it's pretty exciting. Well, the world and media is changing so much.
Yes.
And it's just been really nice, and I'm very happy for William because he's a very, very talented jazz harmonica player. And it's so nice when 56 or 57,000 more people know who you are all of a sudden out of nowhere. And that's great for him. I'm used to a lot of people knowing who I am, but he isn't, so that's
a great thing.
But just in case people don't know about this video, it's if you go to YouTube and you put in Barack Jack, it'll come up, and it's called Taking It Back with Barack Jack.
With Barack Jack.
And I'm assuming everybody knows how to get to YouTube.
Oh, of course. I've had people comment on the MySpace that I posted it on, so yeah, it's definitely circulating around.
Oh, great. Yes. No, definitely in the last week, it's definitely, but it's so great when, you know, somebody like the costumer on my show, they got through a political group, had sent it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. So she said, "I'm watching this video, and all of a sudden, it's you." You know, it was cool. It's been cool.
Right.
I'm very happy about that.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I got some drama going on that I'm not going to get into on the air. I'll definitely tell you afterwards.
Okay.
But I've got my own little soap opera going on. And, you know, when people mess with your livelihood or your children, they've definitely gone too far.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of trying to figure out what to do about it the right way.
Right.
You know, because there's the professional Joanne that I turned out to be. But then there's that Joanne from Yonkers who just, you know, don't give a rat's ass what anyone thinks. And I'm trying to decide which one of those Joannes I want to be.
Well, sometimes, you know, you got to pull out that second one. You have to sometimes when you're dealing with certain people. It just depends, you know. Sometimes you have to get a little down and dirty about some stuff. I have a problem because what happens to me when I get upset about stuff is I get cold as ice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, colder than ice.
Yeah.
I just don't do any. I won't even deal with the person.
Right.
I won't even, and I'm not so sure that that's good. I get beyond words, and I get cold.
Right.
Like cold, which is so weird because I'm not a cold person at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that when something just gets too much or when I feel like people have been kind of unfair,
right.
I just get, I just don't even bother with them. I always said to somebody, you know, many, many years ago, I had a film theater that I started with a young gentleman who was very talented. He really understood film, and he was quite young at the time. But, you know, I borrowed money for him, for his film distribution company, and I probably took out about $5,000 out of a loan, which at that time in the late 70s was a lot of money. And, you know, he never paid me back. And he said if he had to clean floors and, you know, people's houses, he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I always said to him, well, you know, the thing that's going to be bad about that, not is that I'll yell at you, but that you'll see me on the street and I'll just walk right by you.
Mm-hmm.
Which hasn't happened because, you know, he left New York and actually he's either a council person. He's had a very good political life in New Jersey. And he was really a very talented person. Very,
right.
Very talented. But, you know, to this day, it would have been so, so nice of him to pick up a phone because I'm easy to find.
Yeah.
Very easy to find. And and make that good, you know. And $5,000 at that time was not a small amount of money.
Exactly.
So, but I get cold, which I'm not saying is a good thing because I don't sometimes confront the situation the
right.
way the other person would like me to, but I feel like they've crossed such a line with me that it goes beyond words.
Right. Well, so, this situation, without getting into the details, it's been handled professionally, I thought,
mm-hmm.
but it's come back to bite me in the ass in other ways now, months later,
yeah.
And it's just like, you know, can't you get a life? Can't you get
a job?
I'm sure
your audience is going, what the hell is Joanne talking about?
You know what?
What is she talking about? You know, we, you know, in our own personal lives, you know, we have some great plots for...
I'm telling you, for a show.
We might have some better plots
than
the plots all we're seeing.
This is actually something that I'm going to talk to you about off the air, a possible thing that could probably come out of this whole stupid situation, but we'll get to that another time.
It's a book, I hope.
Yeah, it certainly can be. I'll tell you that right now. So, anyway, you're going to be at the Acme Comedy Theater?
Yes.
Tell me
yes.
about that. I didn't know that.
Well, you know, many years ago, I actually was in the running for Saturday Night Live, and my background really is in comedy actually, and so many years ago, this was the years that Billy Crystal was supposed to be on the show, and they had come to see me in a comedy review, some of the producers, and then they got a copy of my tape. Anyway, like a long story short, I didn't get it. But
mm-hmm.
they kept me stringing on for like a whole summer, which was really kind of broke my heart when I found out that
mm-hmm.
it wasn't going to happen. And several months later, after they had hired, I think it was Pamela Stevenson, who was a British comedian, Dick Ebersole, who was producing them, it was like a year later he had quit the show, and he ran into Herb Sargent, who was still the head writer of the show, and said one of the biggest mistakes he had made was not hiring Eileen Kristen. So I got a letter from Herb Sargent, which was odd and unusual because they kind of kept me stringing on for a while, and then it was all of a sudden like, oh, no, Pam Stevenson is going to be doing the show. She does a very good imitation of Billy Idol at the time and Cyndi Lauper, which, you know, they like people who can do impersonations, and that's not my main thing, although I probably, if I worked on it, can do a really nasty imitation of Sarah Palin. I probably could, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, but I missed an opportunity there that would have really kind of changed my life around. So anyway, this came about because my publicist is the publicist. Well, he wasn't originally the publicist for the Acme Comedy Theater, but he is now because he's done such great work bringing them such great hosts that they made him publicist.
Wow.
Which is really wonderful. So, yeah, I'm doing that, and I'm nervous because I haven't done comedy in a while. I'm doing it October 18th.
Okay.
I'm going to have a very interesting week out in L.A. because I'm going out and I'm doing the PAWS event, the AIDS Walk event for Giovanni.
Okay.
The one that we do in New York at Prohibition. I'm doing it out there at a club. I will send you
send me the stuff and I'll post it up.
Right. But hopefully all the people out in L.A. will come see me.
Mm-hmm.
I need the support because, I don't really have my people out there, you know. I'm just a tourist out in L.A., so
right.
I need all the people that I can get, particularly for the comedy thing.
Absolutely. So, no, send me the information, and I'll definitely post it. Everyone in the chat room is saying that you should have your publicist campaign for you to get on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, you know, I was watching it tonight. I actually shut it off because I get nervous watching it. They rise to the occasion in such a way that it's just shocking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how well people do on this show. People who've never done this before. Now, I had a little stint as a professional dancer from the years of 14 to 18. That's the way I started off in the business.
Mm-hmm.
But dealing with the kind of pressure that they're dealing with, I'm just in shock. And as good as a mover as I think I am, there's something very undisciplined about. I'm a good dancer. And,
mm-hmm.
and I've always been a very good Latin dancer, but I'm a little undisciplined, and I don't like following rules, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like to do my own thing. And and sometimes I think people who don't know anything about dance
mm-hmm.
sometimes take direction better than people like me. So I don't know, but I didn't see the show last night. I completely forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't see. I was very curious to see how Susan Lucci did.
Susan yesterday. She was obviously very nervous.
Yeah, she looks nervous today. She looked.
I didn't
very,
see
like,
it. Yeah, I turned it off. I didn't see it. She looked really nervous and. I thought the judge's comments were, I don't know, I guess it's just kind of weird seeing her out of character, because you really don't see her out of character too many places.
Right.
That's not really like on HSN or Super Soap, something like that. You don't really see much of her as Susan.
Yes.
You see her as Erica.
Yes.
And to see her so vulnerable
yes.
on that dance floor, and she was very stiff.
Yeah.
She looked like she really was afraid to kind of let go. But Bruno, the judge, I don't think that he had to go as far as to say, for this dance, we need a slut. That was just really, I think, bad taste. And, I mean, they panned to her face, and the shock of it all was just like, You know, I thought that was a little uncalled for, but. I hope she does well. Cora Leachman is just laugh your ass off funny. What is it?
She's 82 years
old.
Cora Leachman is so, she was so funny tonight. I mean, she just loosens everything up. And I know Cloris. I haven't seen her in years, but I really loved hanging around her when I did. I was friendly with someone who knew her very well, and I had gone to dinner at her house a couple of times, and she just was, first of all, she's such a gifted woman, and she's probably one of the most gifted comedians that this country has ever had. You know, there are so many great British comedians, but we have very few female comedians like Carol Burnett, Cloris Leachman. Madeline Kahn was such a great, great talent, and she no longer, you know, is living. But Cloris is just so brilliant when you see her body of work. And tonight she just got out there, and, you know, and it's not that she's such a great dancer, but she was such a great performer. I told her Brooke Burke or whatever her name was. Quite beautiful. And Toni Braxton did a really nice job tonight, and I thought they were very hard on Lance Bass, and he kicked ass.
I guess Lance
Bass
is really good.
On people who really dance, and he really dances. So it's like, lay off of him.
I was a little pissed
at that, and I think they did it on purpose because it's the second night, and you know what are they going to do? Give him a nine? I don't know. You know, they don't do that easy on the.
I think that, you know, as with most of these reality shows, American Idol and all, they need a bad person on there, you know, one way or another. They need to, like, make their mark, and whether it be Bruno telling Susan she needs to be a slut, or them telling, you know, this one needs too heavy around the middle, whatever. They need somebody nasty on it because it just makes for good TV. Warren Sapp, yesterday they said that to him about his stomach.
They said that to who?
Warren Sapp, the football player.
Oh.
They made a comment about how heavy he was. He's a football player, for crying out loud, you know?
He gets paid to be heavy like that.
Exactly. You know, it's hysterical. But,
God.
Yeah, so,
well,
I don't know.
You know, something, even at their very worst, you know, and everybody I saw tonight did, everybody did such a great job, you know, and I only, you know, watched it until 10. I said, well, maybe I'll just leave it on and, you know, leave the picture on. But it's very distracting because
I was going to do the same thing.
That dancer part of me, which in my core, you know, is the first thing that I did as a professional was as a dancer. So, you know, it's very distracting when dance is on because my heart and my soul gravitate to that, you know. Cause, so I said, you better turn. I turned the sound down first, and then I went, no, turn it off because you're not going to be, you know, present in a calendar for, you know.
That's what I did too.
You got my full attention.
Right. Well, you know what? What better person to get it from?
Thank you.
I got about 15 people right now on hold waiting to talk to you.
Okay, great. Super.
Let's go to the phone.
Hope they don't ask me who Rex's father is. Huh? They're going to ask me who's Rex's father, and I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
So,
you don't know who Rex's daddy is, so stop asking. And oh my God, right here in the chat room, it says, any ideas who Rex's dad is? No, not yet. Still trying to figure that one out. We're going to go to Maury Povich and solve the mystery.
Okay.
Area code 352, you're on the phone with the fabulous Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi. How are you? Who is this?
My name's Courtney.
Hi, Courtney. What's going on?
I just wanted to tell you that I'm a really big fan of yours.
Thank you.
And I love you on One Life to Live.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, what's it like working with John Paul?
Oh, it's wonderful. I think he's so professional. You know, he's really very, very talented. And just very professional and very loose. And we had some really nice scenes the other day, which probably won't be on for like another 2 months. We're so out of order that I don't even know where we are. Everything is out of order and turned upside down, kind of. But I had some really nice scenes with him. I had some nice air show. I had a nice air show with him that was on last week.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's great. It really is wonderful.
That's
he's very professional. Aside from being very good, he's very professional.
Yeah, it really shows.
Always prepared.
And I just want to tell you, I really like the episode where Roxy was celebrating Grandparents' Day with Charlie.
Oh, thank you.
That
one
cracked me up. And I know
thank you.
I know you got a lot of calls, so I'll let you go.
Okay, Courtney, take
nice
care.
To you.
And go to YouTube.
I love
yes.
everybody.
It's so
I posted
tacky.
The link. Go to YouTube and Taking It Back with Barack Jack.
Okay.
Barack Jack.
Well, you could actually go if you don't if you can't.
You put in Barack Jack.
Yeah, Barack Jack and I also have it posted on my MySpace in the blog somewhere, so you can
okay.
check it out in there too.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Bye. Very good. Bye.
Bye,
sweetie. There's an interesting thing that somebody just put in the chat room about Rex's father that possibly let it be Asa. Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Well, that's...
You know what? That would be pretty cool because it could actually,
well
Rex, yeah.
I don't know when that would have happened. I mean, that, you know, that, well, first of all, you know, I don't feel like Asa is a big presence on the show right now, so I don't think that they would do something like that. But
right.
it would be interesting if it turns out that, you know, he was a Buchanan
right.
somehow. I mean, that would be very interesting if, you know. But I don't know if they would do that because they don't really have, you know, they don't really have Phil Carey on as
mm-hmm.
a presence. But it would be, that's not a terrible idea.
No.
It would be shocking. I think they need something shocking.
Yeah, they certainly do. And Asa would be a shocker, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to area code 989. You're on the phone with Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm Megan.
Hi, Megan.
First off, I wanted to say I love the Taking It Back with Barack video.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm 16, and I love politics. My friends all laugh at me, when I saw that you were for Barack Obama, I was so excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's the change that we need, and I think it's, you know, my nephew is biracial. And
mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends' kids are biracial, and I feel also that it would be nice. I just think we really, it's been an all-boys white, you know, political game for so long. It was very exciting this year, you know, with the fact that Hillary and I don't know if I can say her name, Sarah Palin, because I think she's very inexperienced. But just the fact that, you know, it'll never be the same. It'll never be like, oh, my God, a woman. Oh, my God, a black man. Oh, my God. You know, it'll never be that shock again. It will – the world is changing.
Right.
And I think someone like Barack really is the landscape of where our of much of our country. We have a lot of people who are Hispanic and half black, half Latin, half white, half Korean, half, you know, and I
exactly.
think I think it's very representative of what's really going on.
Right.
So I'm hoping that the country is really, you know, ready to make a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
You know, look, we don't want 8 more years of this all-boy network, you know, it's really scary, you know, so people really have to think, you know, very hard about this, but, you know, 8 more years of a government not really caring about its people, that's what I feel, you know, I feel like we've been abused over the last 8 years and taken advantage of.
Exactly.
So, I'm glad you liked the video.
I loved it. I showed my parents because they're for Barack, too.
Oh, great. Well, send it out. You know, send a link to people.
I'm definitely going to post it around. Oh, well, somebody in the chat wanted me to ask, how are you like the character Roxy?
Well, I like to have fun. You know, I think life is to have fun. And so well, in that know. Regard, and you know, I really, when I got One Life to Live, it was the day before 9/11. And then 9/11 happened, and it was very hard to think that I was going to be creating a character. And I didn't think about acting for like at least 2 weeks because right. there were so many other pressing things to think about. And
right.
and I thought all of a sudden that acting seemed to be obsolete. But then all of a sudden, and my anniversary, my seven-year anniversary is coming up on September 27th.
Wow.
All of a sudden, as the time neared, I got very inspired, and I went, well, everybody is so sad from this
yeah.
event. I am going to just shake it up, and I'm going to create a character that's kind of odd and funny and
right.
entertaining and tough and something a little different for One Life to Live, because they never had a character like that, as far as I
yeah.
know.
Yeah, Roxy is definitely unique.
Yes. So I got very inspired. And I just wanted, and then at a certain point I just said, well, this is, you know, times are very tough right now in this country, so this is a character that you could really have fun with. This is a character
right.
that you want to go dancing with. This is a character that you want to go drinking with. And I hope in life that, you know, people go, oh, I like going out with Eileen because she's a lot of fun. So, in a lot of ways, she's closer to me than a lot of other characters that I've done.
Okay,
so.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye, Megan. Oh, gosh. Okay, let's...
Are you okay, Joanne?
No, you know what? I just cut my friggin' leg, so I was a little distracted because I was trying to put a Band-Aid on the back of my leg. So... Don't mind me.
It's okay.
Let's move over here to area code 5.
How many people are listening right now?
Well, in the chat room, there's 19 people.
Uh-huh.
And as far as live listeners, I don't know. I won't know that until the show's over. Because
right.
if they're not registered with Blog Talk, I don't know. You know, I don't have any record of that until
after. How many
after.
People usually are listening?
It depends on who's on, you know.
Yeah.
Kristen Alderson had about 20 people in the chat room,
uh-huh.
You know, and Jason Tam was about the same. And, you know, it depends on the person and the time and the show. I'll have to be honest, and I'll say to everyone that for some reason, General Hospital actors pull in the highest numbers.
I heard that. They pull in.
They do.
They
I don't know why.
Fan events and everything. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know why, but they do.
Their fans are just zealous.
They're
completely...
vicious. They're not zealous. They're vicious, okay? they're vicious.
Vicious?
I had. Yeah, they are. I had people on the phone, people on hold waiting to talk to some actors, and, you know, they accused me of lying, of running out of time because they couldn't get on the phone to talk to their friend, you know, talk to them or whatever. And I'm like, hello, no, I really did run out of time. It's not like I'm doing it on purpose.
I know. Why would you do that? I mean, you know.
Whatever.
I mean, that's, yeah, well.
Yeah, but, you know, so it really depends who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is par for the course for a lot of people from One Life to Live, and I really haven't had much experience with all my children to even judge because for whatever reason they don't, other than Michael Knight, really, you know, he was pretty big when he came on, but, you know, it's I won't really have any accurate numbers for at least maybe a week, you know,
right.
maybe an hour after the show, people... An hour after the show, people start downloading. So,
right.
And then,
right.
you know, I go back and I look in about a week to see
yeah.
what it's up to. Because I could have people on hold, I mean, a guest on, and only 3 people call in, but then you go back and look at their numbers a week later, they could have 1,000 downloads.
Wow. It's
so
very,
really,
it's just very fascinating. As I said, you know, we're really entering this whole this new universe, you know.
Yeah.
This internet universe.
Definitely are.
Really
but, We have more people for you,
though.
Oh,
good. Excellent.
We have more people.
Wonderful.
Let's see here. Area code 212. You're on the phone with Eileen.
Hey, this is Norm.
Hey, a loco.
Yeah,
a loco.
Hey, Eileen. Hey, Joanne.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and tell you, like, that you are so loved and so appreciated. We love you so much.
Oh, my God.
Anytime you pop up, we know it's going to be a good episode. We know this one's going to be a good one.
We know
we're going to laugh. We're going to cry. And
that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. I wish they were just giving me a little bit more to do here to tell more of a story. You know, I just believe storytelling is such a powerful thing when you tell it. You know, it's like the Ryan's Hope episodes. I have to say that the ingredients of what they managed to do in that show was to keep a person hooked.
Yeah, yeah. And feel like you're part of a family with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, that's the key, you know, the key to having a show that people have to tune into. So, you know, I sometimes just feel badly that I feel like this character of Roxy is so capable of telling a story, so I start kind of telling something in a way,
yeah.
And then you don't see me for another week.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well,
you know,
just when you had the one line, like, Shane is my grandson, you had that one line, and you put more acting, you conveyed more drama in that one line than a lot of soaps do their whole cast.
Oh,
you know?
Well, thank you.
You're
thank
so
you
great.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I really care. I care about, I just care. I care about the character and,
it comes through. You've got integrity and it comes
thank
through.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well,
Where do you live, by the way? What borough? Are you in Manhattan?
Harlem, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. I went to a great jazz club up there about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
On 118th Street, Minton's.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Oh, you should go.
Yeah.
Minton's, there's another part of the name, but it's on 118th Street, and it is fabulous.
Mm.
Really
wonderful. I'm going to the Blue Note this weekend.
Really? Who are you going to see?
Cleo Lane. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's this weekend.
That's going to be so great.
When are you going?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Which show?
The early show.
Saturday night, the early show. What is your name again?
Norn.
Norn. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote a note, and of course I put the note, I don't know where. You know, Cleo, I am a huge, 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 huge Cleo Lane, John Dankworth fan.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they used to live around the corner from me.
Oh.
On the Upper West Side, and I'm not starstruck really at all, except for certain people and mostly musicians.
Yeah.
And so I'm at the time they had this little organic health food store on the corner of 78th Street, and all of a sudden I'm there and I turn around and Cleo Lane is standing in back of me and I just nearly lost it. And I just was like, you know, we were engaged in conversation for an hour in there. So I may end up at that. I may end up there.
Well, I hope you do. If I see you, I'll say hey.
Oh yeah, please.
Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. What time is that show on Saturday?
7.
7.
Yeah.
Bye. Let me see if I can bring the harmonica player with. Nate William, because sometimes I tease him and I said, this is like Cleo Lane and John Dankworth.
Oh, the musical coupling.
Yeah. Have you seen the video yet?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. Take it back,
oh, good.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Love
Excellent.
It.
Oh, good.
Pass it around.
I'm going to let the next people talk, but
okay.
We love you.
Well, maybe I'll see you Saturday night.
Okay, I hope so.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Norm. That's really cool.
Oh, God, I forgot all about Cleo Lane playing. Oh, my God.
Fine, cool. Well, see if
yeah.
you could check it out. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, this next caller is Tony from Chicago.
Hey.
Hey, Joanne. Hi, Eileen. Welcome back,
hey.
Bub. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am just watching. I'm watching Dancing with the Stars, by the way. I got
Is it like winter yet in Chicago?
Not quite. We had a temperature in 86 degrees today in Chicago.
Oh, good. Okay, really? I figure in October it starts getting a little chilly.
Yeah, just right before, I saw the forecast out for next week. Yeah, it's supposed to be chilly, rain, low 60s next week.
Right. Because, you know, whatever bad weather, you're going to get it before us in New York.
Yeah.
beautiful city, though. Beautiful city.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much. And I hope you come visit sometime.
You know, I was there many years ago, but I was there in the dead of winter, and it was as close to, like, without them calling it a storm, it was a storm, and I was shooting a commercial for, this was many years ago, for some product. I played Goldilocks with the Chicago Bears.
The Honey Bears.
Yeah, I don't know what it was for. It was for shaving. It was for shaving lotion. And it was me and three of the biggest football players. Was Dick Butkus on that team? I don't know. It was someone famous. And I felt like another life form. I mean, I'm very tiny anyway, but these guys were like another life form. Huge.
Back in the day, probably was the Honey Bears back in the day, because they were back to a big thing back in the 70s. So I'm a Bears, I'm a huge Bears fan.
Uh-huh, I bet.
And they used to have a chili we call the Honey Bears back in the 70s.
This is in the 70s, definitely.
When Walter Payton was playing back then. Right. That's when Walter Payton first started in the league.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Back in 75.
This was early 70s, because I think I was still doing Grease.
I was still
in the show Grease on Broadway, and I think I got to take off and flew to Chicago in a storm.
Uh-huh.
Which was the city was beautiful, but, you know, not easy getting around.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, by the way, Ernie, now let's get off my city for a while. First of all, I want to commend you on your work last week. I saw the scenes between Roxy, not only Roxy and Charlie with the Pan-Pan Day, but also the little Kindred Spirits thing with you and with Roxy and Tina.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
Yes, it certainly was.
That was good. No, I thought that was really a nice scene. I thought it was well written, and you know, it's nice when you see two characters together that kind of work. You know,
absolutely.
It made sense on a very strange little level, and I think it was just you saw Tina more real in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Roxy almost uncomplicated in a way compared to Tina. It was just very interesting. Thank you so much, though. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
People, you know, the audience is so perceptive and bright. That's why I don't like sometimes when the writers don't, you know, kind of like cheat with certain stories and don't tell full stories, because I think the audience is so capable of understanding a storyline on so many levels.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's just, I just want the writers to really be bright about what they're writing.
Yeah, absolutely. And one more final thing.
Yeah.
I love the video. I'm a YouTube subscriber, and I watch the video over and over again. Ready, choo-choo! Running bandit! Woo-woo! Yeah, time to get Bush and his butts out of the bucket. Woo-woo! Bring in Barack in the crew! Yes, I'm all for that, Jack.
All right. We've got to get... Barack has got to get... elected. He's got to, because we're going to be in such trouble.
Yeah, if we don't get elected, we're going to have four more years of McCain and his boys say, oh, I'm going to be controlling the big cats. And like, yeah, it's going to be a staff meeting.
Exactly. So we got to get out there, and, you know, it's I'm going to try to be involved in some voter stuff in Pennsylvania, because, you know, Pennsylvania is a very important state. And, you know, there's an old guard there that would vote for Hillary, but we're not sure if they'll vote for, you know, Obama. So I'm going to try to do some campaigning there. There were some interesting developments in Virginia. You know, they always think of Virginia as a very Republican state, but it looks like Obama is kind of leading in the polls over there. So it's just time for a change. It's really time for a big change.
Absolutely.
Big change.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And by the way, ladies, Susan Lucci is safe for tonight.
Oh,
cool.
Good.
She's going to dance tonight. So she's going to be dancing tonight to try to stab up elimination tomorrow night.
They eliminate one person tonight?
They eliminate one person tonight, and they're going to eliminate another person tomorrow night.
Yeah, who do you think it's going to be?
At this point, I really don't know. But I'm hoping Susan just survived both nights. That's all I want. Make it to week two. That's all I want.
You want what?
I just want to make sure Susan survives.
She will. I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
Did Kim Kardashian stay safe?
Surprisingly, no, she hasn't danced yet.
Oh,
how did she do last night?
She was good.
She looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think
she was bad at all.
No, she looks really great from what I could see tonight, just the way she looked. You know, she looked vibrant and, you know, sometimes you have to, like, loosen up your whole persona, because it's like, I don't think Susan realized how nervous she looked tonight. You're just standing there.
Yeah.
You know, you have to kind of smile and not bite your lips so much, you know.
Yeah, yeah. She
it's
did
hard.
A lot of that.
It's scary.
Yeah,
it's
I can imagine.
To do that. You know, it's a really
it's true. It's like, you know, you're not used to seeing it. I mean, you would be a different story because you are out and about and more accessible.
Yeah.
So people know you. You know what I mean? So I think it would be different with you, but being that she is kind of sheltered, I guess, maybe.
Yes,
so it's weird to see her like that, you know. So, But it's nice to see her that way because then you just see that, she's just like you. So, you know, she's just a normal person, everyone. She's Susan, but she's normal.
And she's doing her best, and she's doing her best right now in the Quick Step right now. I'm watching right now.
Wow.
Oh, good, good. All right, let's get hard work.
It's really hard work.
Yeah, well, she's got to fly back and forth.
I know, doesn't make it easy either. That's
got to be hard on her, too, you know, with the work schedule at All My Children and then flying back and forth to California.
Yeah,
Cameron Matheson said it was the hardest thing he ever did.
Without a doubt.
Would you want to do that or not?
You know, that's a really good question. I keep on thinking that I'd love to, except that every time I think about it, I get so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my stomach just, like, I just put myself in their position and I go, wow. Talk about nerves. You know, it's like when I almost got Saturday Night Live. I remember this was back in the 80s, and I kept on thinking because I was so close to getting it. And I would go jogging. I would go out jogging, and I would think, okay, all right, I'm going to get Saturday Night Live. And I'd get so nervous that I'd have to stop running and almost wanting to, like, throw up. I just would stop and go, oh, my God, the adrenaline is just, you know, I did a Broadway show for 2 years. I did Grease for 2 years, and every night before I went on, I'd be so nervous. So, you know, it's like, okay, you know, you say you want to do this, but can you really deal with those nerves? So, you know, I would like to do it.
They're saying in the chat room that Kamar was asked to do Dancing with the Stars, but he didn't do it because he got hurt.
That might have been true. He pulled his shoulder.
That was a wonderful
answer. It would totally make sense for him to do it.
Yeah.
I think it would be very wise for him to do it. Because I don't think outside of the show a lot of people totally know who he is. So it's a great way to get, you know.
The exposure, sure.
To change your, you know,
profile around as far as the people who know you, you know. I mean, it's quite an opportunity on a worldwide level to all of a sudden, you know, be known.
Right.
Well, the girl, I'll tell you right now, and Susan, that's got better. I just got through listening to the judge's comments just a second ago. Yeah, they gave her a much better rain. To her quick step was a lot better tonight.
What did she do last night, the cha-cha?
I think so.
Yeah, last night was a cha-cha.
And she only got 15 out of 30. Tonight, she's so fancy. Tonight, she's got 23 out of 30.
Wow.
Oh, good. So she improved.
Yeah.
I taped it. Oh, I'll watch it later.
Sorry, I gave it away. Oh, my God. My bad. Yeah. Okay, we better take some more calls before we can.
Okay.
I'm
going to play with you guys to the end.
Okay, yeah, don't. All right, hold on, Tony. We're going to go to area code 954, Broward County. Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi,
Eileen.
Hi there.
Hi. My name's Carissa.
Hi, Carissa.
Hey, Carissa.
Hi. I have a question. You've done a lot of daytime television in your career, you've also done some guest appearances in primetime.
Right.
Do you have, you know, any preference, or do you find that there's more stability with daytime than there was with primetime?
Oh, there's definitely more stability. I mean, and that's the area where I'm known in, so, you know, it's almost like I don't have to audition for daytime. I would love to do a nighttime show. I would love to be a regular character on a nighttime show. But it's so funny now what's happening is that people who have had film careers are going to television, and a lot of people who are on daytime sometimes, you know, they'll go with a film person rather than going with someone who's done a lot of daytime. It's
well, I noticed that because Michael, I think it's Michael Gross was, I saw him on A Young and the Restless, and it just shocked me because he had a big film career like in the early 80s on Family Ties, and now he's appearing on, you know, on daytime. So, but you were on Law and Order, so I remember seeing an episode of that, so I just wondered, you know, if you would ever consider doing...
I was on Law and Order, I was on The Sopranos. I had actually been up for a role in a running role in The Sopranos to play Stephen Van Zandt's wife, but his wife in real life got it. So, you know, I can't dispute that, but I know that they wanted me on the show, so they were looking for something for me, and they gave me this little part, but it was interesting. It was the part of the woman who wouldn't stop smoking, and I had a whole confrontation with Lorraine Bracco, but it was only a one-shot. It was only a one-shot deal, and so, you know, you hope that you can get a shot on these shows that's more than one, you know, just one episode. So,
right.
But I would love to. I did a third watch where I played a junkie. I played a junkie who was dying of, who you knew was going to die of a heroin overdose. And that was like a part that I really wanted. And I didn't think they'd hire me for it, but I think they understood that I was a character actress so that I could do it. So that was great.
Okay, well, I just wanted to call in and just say, you know, I absolutely love your character, and I think that, you know, you've been doing a fantastic job
Thank you so much.
Okay, so I hope you have a good night, and thank you, Joanne, for taking my call.
Absolutely, darling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, yes, we love our Fort Lauderdale girls.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to...
The 954 girls.
That's right. Broward County. Let's go over here to 512. That's Brandon, I believe.
Hey, Joanne. Hey, Eileen.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you? It's a great thrill to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you so much.
I quite enjoyed picking your brain last time you were on, and it's a great thrill to be able to do it again.
Pick it again. It's not a big brain, but, you know, I'm sure there's some stuff that remains.
Don't sell yourself short now.
No, well, I'm short, too. I'm actually short with a big brain, okay? We'll put it that
okay.
way.
There you
better.
Go.
So Tony kind of stole my question, which I'll get him back for, but I wanted to ask you about working with Andrea Evans, because it seems like she's your kind of actress, and the scenes that y'all had a while back where you were comparing notes on Max and Mitch...
Wasn't that fun?
...were so hysterical and so steeped in the show's history And it was... I'm wondering if they were written like that, if there was some improvisation involved.
Well, I always, you know, I always improv. I always add, I always find a different way to phrase something or add something that, that wasn't in the script at all. But it was a, it was very well written. Those scenes particularly were very well written. They really were, so I didn't have to do a whole lot. And they were loaded with history, but it was written in a way that you could act it.
Yeah. And so, is she just great fun to work with?
She was lovely to work with. You know, what was really lovely about her was she said to me, you know, on a break, she said, you know, you've asked me questions about myself. Now I want to talk to you about you. Who are you, Eileen? I mean, you know, aside, as she said, I've been watching you for years, but who are you as a person? What are you doing? Are you married? Or what are you up to? And I said, well, I just broke up with somebody. I don't want to get married. I like living alone. I like being a free agent. And it was just, she really wanted to know about me. And that felt really great. I felt like... It was really sweet of her to ask, because sometimes people are so just caught up in their own stuff that, you know, they don't even care, you know.
Yeah.
And she
she's been through quite the ringer in her life, and so having come out the other side of it, I think that kind of opens you up and makes you more receptive, I think.
Yeah, but it was really, really nice working with her, and I thought the scenes really looked good. And I think the reaction from the audience was really great. We had another, we did another group of scenes, a couple of weeks ago. I don't know when they're going to be on, but I think people will really like them a lot.
Oh, Roxy and Tina are two peas in a pod, I tell you what.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So
well,
I have another quick question for you, if I could, and then I'll let somebody else have the floor. Joanne had Michael Knight on a few weeks back from All My Children.
Yes.
And I got to ask him the same question that I want to ask you.
Sure.
You know, we all kind of get together on the internet and we all kind of rag about how daytime has changed for the worse.
Yeah.
And you've been around for 3 decades and more now.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you can talk about the ways that daytime has changed for the better, in your opinion.
Oh, for the better?
Go ahead, honey. Tell it.
Understatement.
For the better.
Come on, Eileen.
I'd like to say the lighting is better, but I'm not so sure about that. One of the things that's better, I can tell you, is that if you make a mistake, it's very easy to go stop tape and start again. Whereas back in the old days, that was so difficult. You know, I mean, it's a technological thing, but I actually think the stories were more effective in a way for hooking people in. Back in, I can only speak about Ryan's Hope because I really thought Ryan's Hope was written so beautifully that it just hooked you in.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know. Sorry for yawning. I don't know if the shows really demand that you have to watch the next day, and they really should. Somehow they should be written in a way that absolutely tantalizes you so much that you have to tune in or you have to find out what it is. And I don't feel that they're totally, totally as good at that as they used to be. I don't know what that entails exactly.
Yeah, well, I think the fear is that the people who do miss an episode will be completely lost. I mean, I think you're seeing that a lot in primetime with things like Lost and Heroes, things that move so fast, and you have to watch every episode or you'll be completely out of the loop. And I think, you know, people are talking about why those shows are seeing such ratings declines. And that's because you have
to
watch every episode.
So, in other words, those shows are having a huge rating decline?
Well, I mean, Heroes had its season premiere last night, and it was down something like 7 million viewers from last season.
Wow.
And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to watch every episode, and if you don't, it's hard to kind of get back into it. And I think that that's a huge fear in daytime right now. And so that's why we have so much more exposition, so much more repetition.
Hmm.
So that it's easy to jump back in if you miss, like, a week or, you know.
I guess, but the thing is, see, this is what's confusing to me, is with none, no, not everybody has TiVo and not everybody has DVR, but if someone is an avid soap watcher, if they are, it's so easy to tape, you know, to DVR these shows, and then you watch them with no commercials, and you can take an hour show, and you can watch it basically in 20 minutes,
yeah,
or a little longer than that. I mean, I think the networks are scared of that. I also think that they're scared that there are going to be, and there, look, everybody's got their personal preferences, which characters that they like, but, and I know that there are a lot of people that tape the show so that they can absolutely fast forward over stuff that they don't like.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there are so many more resources available now in terms of getting caught up. I mean, there's any number of websites that offer, you know, thorough daily recaps and upcoming spoilers and things like that. So it's I don't know, it's kind of a catch-22 because it seems like it's much easier to stay in the loop these days, and yet the ratings reflect that fewer people are making the effort.
Which is a little, you know, strange in a way. I think my phone is, I just heard my phone beeping, which means the battery is going on it. What do? Do I hang up and use the other phone?
Yeah, you can do that.
Or call back?
Yeah, call me back. Call me back on the other phone.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
Bye.
Don't nobody else go anywhere. She's going to call right back.
Okay.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Live radio.
Modern technology, right? I'm telling you. But anyway, I'm like 2 weeks behind on all my children, One Life to Live, and General Hospital. So I'm going to try and get in there. And Ryan's Hope, because I watch Ryan's Hope every day, too. My schedule had changed. My schedule changed from when I used to get up at 5 and sit and watch them while my son got ready for school, so I tape everything, so I'm really behind. You back?
Yeah, I am back.
All right.
Well, that's scary when that happens, because when that happens, what that does is when the beep starts happening, it's not only that my battery is gone, but that my answering machine starts taping the conversation.
Oh, God.
Which is really frightening.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one time there was just a whole weird conversation that I was playing my messages back, and then all of a sudden there was like a 10-minute conversation with myself and somebody, and it was like, wow. When you really listen to the conversation, you go, wow, that was an awfully strange conversation you were having.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's, I don't know why that was happening, but anyway, I think these batteries are good.
Okay, go ahead, Brandon.
So,
yeah.
What's your feeling on kind of the evolution of SoapNet?
The evolution,
you know,
of SoapNet.
They're showing so many movies now. They're showing 25 reruns of Beverly Hills 90210 a week.
Yeah.
They've got the One Life to Live marathon at some ungodly hour on the weekend.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
What are they trying to accomplish there, and what are your
that's
thoughts?
That's a very good question, and I couldn't tell you. Look, it's about the bottom line for any company. It's about what makes the most revenue and what they either pick up cheaply or I don't know why they would have to show Beverly Hills 90210.
I know.
I don't know why. I mean,
can I tell you, they had a movie on, you know how they play that movie of the week? They had Mommy Dearest on SoapNet.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. Can you please tell me why in God's green earth you would have Mommy Dearest on SoapNet when you got A&E, you got USA, you got the Hallmark Channel, you got AMC.
I know.
Get the hell off of it already. Mommy friggin' dearest. Are you joking?
You're right. You're right. I can't argue with you
Clue.
At all on that.
Wait
I
a minute. Clue.
I don't know.
Do you remember that movie Clue?
Yes.
That they made? They had that on there too. Why? Why?
I
For
don't
what
know.
Purpose? You know what I'm saying? It's like, holy... Okay, I'm going to shut up, because seriously...
Obviously, they pick it up cheaply.
Evidently, I mean, for what they're doing. And then the kicker is... I'm sorry to cut you off, Brandon, because this subject
That's
just
fun.
Really pisses me off. Because the thing of it is that people pay for SoapNet to watch soaps. Not 90210, not Melrose Place, not Dallas, or
well,
even...
those are considered soaps.
Yeah, but
they're
you know what...
Soaps.
They're nighttime soaps, yeah, but you know what? 90210 has been on for quite some time now, and there's only so many times you can show the same episodes over
right,
and
definitely.
Over and over again. So you know
especially
what?
When
That's
they
fine.
Show them 4 times a day. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
fine if you want to air them, but once that season ends, stop showing it. There is so much drama TV out there that can be shown and bought. Negotiate for something else. Stop going for the same old bullshit that they show all the time.
Well,
really.
You know, what really to me is very, very sad, and I don't understand this at all, why they would take Soap Talk off the air. I thought that
yep.
was a really good show. I think whenever you can really show the actors kind of as human beings, I think that is of great interest to people. I thought the soapographies were great.
And also Soap Center that they used to do was
yes.
fabulous. That was
Soap
a great
Center
show.
Was fantastic with Mimi Torsion.
Even the One Day With that Wally
yeah.
Kirth used to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why these shows on Blog Talk Radio and other type of internet stations are so important. And I really don't understand why the actors can't see that, not to call us a replacement for Soap Talk, but it kind of is. Because we're, other than, you know, the fact that you get to talk to your fans personally, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? It's like you
yeah.
don't have that platform anymore through the network that's supposed to be running the soaps. So you know what? Why don't you just come on and do it? I mean, you would do it if it was self-talk. Why wouldn't you do it if it was something else?
Right. Yeah, I don't really understand. I, you know, they had a wonderful woman, Deborah Blackwell, who was running who started SoapNet, and then Brian Franz kind of took it over.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah,
well,
she
was great.
There you
go. She brought in the End of the World reruns. She brought in even the shows that were actual soaps like Knots Landing and Falcon Crest and
yeah, but she
you know
she had started the network and then found herself run out of the network
by the
big
boys.
Yeah. So. I don't know, you know, I could harangue about that. She's a lovely lady. She's really a class act.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you, Brandon. It's pretty much nonsense. I mean, if I want to watch Mommy Dearest, I'll look for it on the American movie class.
And, you know, it's great. I love the movie Mommy Dearest.
So do I.
But
that's not what
yeah.
you tune into SoapNet for,
right.
you know?
You're absolutely right.
I mean, then you know what? You might as well just start changing. I mean, I understand that they're trying to capitalize on a younger viewing audience with the entertainment, and they got Beyonce on the front page of their website and Jay-Z. And all that. But you know what? Beyonce and Jay-Z ain't in no damn soap opera.
Right.
And you know, you wanna get into the celebrity dirt. You got the E Channel, you got Talk Soup, you got all
yeah.
these Inside Edition and Entertainment Tonight. Why do you have to focus on that? Why can't you capitalize on the younger viewers through your soaps? Change the damn writing and start, you know, writing some real stories.
Yeah.
You know
don't have to use celebrities to, you know, other types of celebrities to do it.
Yeah,
this movie idea would be a really great idea if they actually picked movies that had soap stars in them. I mean, how many hundreds of TV movies have featured soap stars as the leads?
Exactly.
I mean,
absolutely. Also, there's a movie that I did last year called Manhattanites, and
that's
right.
Why ain't that on there?
I know it really could because it's kind of cute. You know, it's a good little film. And it's got a lot of, Aidan Turner is wonderful in it. He's just, he's really talented, I think. And
yeah.
David Fumero's in it, and
Forbes.
Oh, Forbes. Forbes plays my competition. Did you see it, Joanne?
No, I have no way to see it. Where do you see it? I mean, I know that it debuted in New York, but I don't think I was here when it happened.
Yeah,
so I never got to see it.
Well,
I never got
to
David.
I'll speak to the guy who produced it and see what we can do about that.
Yeah, David Fumero's film came out last week, too. That was supposed to be pretty good, that Greetings from the Shore. That's another movie that, you know,
right.
People should go definitely
well, you know,
see.
The way to do certain things now is to put it on YouTube, to take it in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You put little five-minute clips on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and you get people interested, and you get a bunch of hits
right.
on it, and then, you know, you just don't know. I think YouTube is this, you know, very interesting tool.
Mm-hmm.
I never realized it until, like, the last couple of weeks.
Did you get to go on and see Imaginary Bitches?
Yes, I did.
You know, Eden's back on All My Children now.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
So I did what I said I was going to do, and they were, you know, they sent me back an email saying that they were going to contact you. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I know that she's back there now. So, and she's back on contract on All My Children. So I don't
she
know
is.
Wow. Yeah. So I don't know what's happening with Imaginary Bitches, but, you know.
Well, I'm sure she'll continue. Probably. Well, who knows if she was shooting it out in L.A., you know.
Yeah, she was shooting it in California, so that's where we'll, I don't know, we'll see what happens, but I know she's supposed to start airing in October.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, that's good.
So, but, all right, Brandon, let me get some of these other callers real quick here.
Okay. Thank you very much, Corinne. Thank you, Riley.
You're
welcome. Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Nice
you're
talking
welcome.
With you.
Area code 201, New Jersey, Tony Ann.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there. Hello, Eileen. I just wanted to call in and show support. I had read Joanne's many posts in support of you, and I offered to help her with postcards and things of that nature. So I just wanted to put a word out that
Thank you.
Joanne has my email. If you need anything, let me know.
Thank you.
So
you know, just as much, you know, as you know, postcards, I think, to Frank Valentini and to...
Well, I'm gonna forward you. I didn't get to send you the creation that Tony Ann made. She actually made me a postcard for you that we're going to have printed up.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's actually going to work on another one, another idea that we had regarding... Rex's paternity.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be the one that she did was of you is really Roxy, and it says we want more Foxy Roxy support Eileen Kristen. And then the other one that I asked her to make is a scene. The picture is a scene capture from Rex and Roxy in their confrontation when he found out that Charlie really wasn't his father.
Right.
So it's like an angrier picture, and
uh-huh.
in the caption it says, "Who is my daddy?" And then behind it, we're going to have some silhouettes of possible candidates.
Oh, how great.
And we're going to send that in also to One Life to Live. So they realize that they
great.
Dropped the damn storyline. And Tony Ann is the creator of these graphics and that we're going to use for the postcards. So when she finishes the one with JP, I'll send it on over to you so you can see them. And we're going to get them printed up, and we're going to start sending them out.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I mean, they need to do something with a story, this story. It's so bizarre to me that they would just drop it, you know.
Right.
But maybe they haven't dropped it. Maybe they're just I'm trying to give them – listen, Ron is a very talented writer. I just don't know why he's dropped the ball with certain things and
mm-hmm. –
and why sometimes they take a shortcut on a storyline that's going really great, then they
they kind of take it in the wrong direction. It's really weird. I mean, my biggest problem also with not just this show, but with a lot of shows, like, you know, Roscoe Bourne, who is one of the most talented actors. Well, Roscoe was doing Days of Our Lives, and he was playing this very interesting character, and then all of a sudden they started making the character just so mean and so nasty, which he knows how to do and do in such a charming way.
Mm-hmm.
But they got rid of the character.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why One Life hasn't snatched him up yet.
Well, we'll see. Maybe that's next. Maybe, hopefully, that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Toni Ann is the creator of the graphics, and she has offered to do, you know, possible posters for you, for your gigs and appearances and stuff like that. So I'll send you the link so you could see her
great
work.
Oh, fantastic. That's great, because I ran into the people who own the club where I usually play, and he looked at me and he said, "Eileen, where are you? You've got to start playing again." And I went through a lot with my father. You know, I knew for the last pretty much year that my father was not doing well, so it took a lot out of me, as those things will do, you know. But my mom's doing a lot better.
Good.
And she's been really strong, and she had kidney stones a couple of weeks ago. At the same time that my mother was taken to the emergency room in Florida, my ceiling burst in my house. We had that terrible, terrible rainstorm, and there was a mishap up on the fifth floor that no one had cleaned out the leader in the gutter of the building, and so the water found its way into my apartment, which never usually happens on the parlor floor, on the second floor of an apartment, but it did. Imagine my surprise when my ceiling, when there was a big water bubble in my ceiling and this water came crashing down.
I can only imagine.
It was pretty frightening. It was really a moment that I've lived here for like 30 years, and it was like the freakiest moment I've ever had in this apartment, because I was in my bedroom and I heard this sound that sounded so frightening, and I couldn't even imagine what it was.
Right.
So, and it was, you know, this water coming through, but everything is fine. But at the same time that happened, there was about 5 inches of water in the basement. So it was like my mother had kidney stones, the ceiling burst open, and the basement was a small, you know, river. So it was quite a day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, Toni Ann, I will pass along your information, darling.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
I would just like to also say you bring some much-needed comedy to One Life.
Well, that's my job.
I absolutely adored your scenes with Farrah Fawcett last week, I believe it was.
I'm sorry, with who?
With Farrah.
Farrah. With
no,
Farrah, Gigi.
Oh, with Gigi. Which scenes did I have with Gigi?
When she figures out that Roxy knows Shane is hers, and Roxy's going through this whole spiel about how Shane can't call her grandma, he should call her nanny.
Oh, right. Those, yes. Yeah, those were cute. They were very cute scenes. Thank you.
Okay, Toni Ann. I think I kind of lost her there. I'm about 2 weeks behind on the show, so.
Oh, you are?
I am.
There's some good stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm anxious to watch it. You know, I'll probably try and get it in this weekend. My parents are actually coming up to Buffalo this week. So it may be a little rough, but, you know, I still watch my Ryan's Hope. You know what? I really wish people would watch that on SoapNet. I mean, I can't urge it enough, and you'll really see what soaps are supposed to be like. Oh gosh, it's so good. You know, the
really
part
good
that they're up to now, Eileen, is when you're trying
I've been
to take
taping
an...
it.
I
haven't watched it all the time, but I've seen scenes that I never saw before.
Oh, okay. Well, you're up to your scenes where you're faking the nervous breakdown.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's getting, it's so good. Yeah, oh, gosh, absolutely. People don't know what they're missing when they're not seeing that.
No, I know, I know.
You know, right. We got two more callers, honey. You ready? You want to take those? And then we'll, and let's see here, 516, you're on the phone with Eileen.
Local.
Another one. Hello, 516.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
Hi, my name's Aaliyah. I kept requesting you for the photo booth at the Broadway flea market, and they kept declining, and that was really irritating, I gotta say, because there were about 10 of us asking for you.
You know, I'm gonna say something, because my friend Susan Hoffman was there, and she asked for me, and I don't know what happened that they didn't. I don't understand. What did they say to you?
What happened? They were like, I'm saying there wasn't enough where they sent up three people for one person, and there were at least 10 of us or 15 of us asking for you. So I was kind of going, what? And then when I went up to the picture, you were up for another person. You were up at the ABC booth, and by the time I got over there, you were gone, which was kind of sad.
Oh, that's weird. I mean,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. You know, someone had asked for me, and B.B. Newworth, they were just having B.B. Newworth take pictures with everyone. I don't understand. You know, I don't think they meant any malice, but what, you know, was it during that 11 to 12 time slot?
Yeah, during the 11 to 12 time. When I went up to take a picture with Michael Knight, you were gone at the ABC thing, and then when I got over there, you were gone by then. But
I'm sorry.
Win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, if you could put Roxy in any type of storyline, what would you do on One Life to Live if you were to be head writer?
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a really good question because, you know, at various times I've had ideas about things in story. You know, at one point they got me really well integrated with everybody. I had scenes with I had scenes with Blair. I had scenes with the character that Fiona Hutchinson played, Gabriella.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, and it was just I would like Roxy. You see, I feel like there's a lot of hypocritical behavior in Landview, you know, and I just always kind of felt like Roxy should be the person who, like, talks back to people. You know, she tells people off, like, on a daily basis. You know, she just gets people to, like, clear up their shit, you know. Kind of like Joanne, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be more like Joanne. Just telling people to, you know, clear their shit up. You know, I had such a great thing going on with the Max character.
Oh, Jimmy DePaiva.
That they blew. See, you know, they blew a really good storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Because Max and Roxy should have fallen in love, but then it should have just been stormy and tempestuous. And you know, that some people have these very crazy relationships, and it was really worth an investigation, and you know, but so but I would love for them to have me involved with somebody, a male character that we really have, like, this great kind of rocking and rolling relationship, you know, triangles are always interesting. You know what I think would be great? I think it would be great if, you know, Vicky and Charlie have this thing, but somehow Roxy decides that she's after Charlie.
There's a lot of buzz on the internet about that, you know.
Yeah.
About that they want you with, you with Charlie.
Wow.
And
there's definitely some buzz.
Hmm.
be a great idea because it'd be three great actors all working in scenes together.
Yeah,
and I know that
but it would be really great to have, you know, Vicky and I mean, she's always in a triangle situation with Dorian, but that, you know, that gets old at a certain point. And you know, and Vicky and Roxy like each other, so it would, but it would be very interesting if it got kind of like a little gnarly there.
It would definitely put a touch of problems with the relationship between
them. Exactly. Exactly. Also, I think, you see, I feel that they copped out on the baby switch, which brought me onto the show. I really felt like it would have been so much better had it really happened that the babies were switched and that Jessica was mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that Natalie was Vicky's and that they weren't twin sisters. That has never made sense.
It didn't. Not really.
Not for a second. And it's like they just got scared and for some reason didn't want to let Vicky lose Jessica. So that, you know, most of these stories, these ideas that I have are, you know, they have to do with things that happened 6 years ago that to me would have been very interesting things. As far as news stories, you know, it would be great if we saw a very complicated person who is Rex's father, maybe someone we've never seen before. And it would pose new problems for Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be very interesting to see her with some new guy that we've never seen. Not Mitch, not anybody, but somebody.
New and exciting.
Somebody, yeah. And then all sorts of complications from that.
Right.
So,
well, definitely good ideas.
Know, yeah.
Everybody needs to start writing these storylines in.
Yeah, well, I think it's important that people just start writing in.
Absolutely. Definitely, definitely. Well, thanks, Aaliyah. I got to go to the next caller.
I know. Thank you.
All right, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. 904, Miss Georgette.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Aileen. How are you?
Hey, Georgette. How are you doing?
Good. I'm just sitting here listening. What's new?
Well, you know, becoming a, you know, big star on YouTube. So, you know, I'm so happy
for
myself.
What I hear, that's the way to go.
Well, you know, I'm beginning to think that if I created my own television show out of my house, it would be, you know, if I did my own little 5-minute show, it would be, you know, not a terrible thing to do.
YouTube is sweeping the world, I tell you what.
Yeah, it is sweeping the world. It really is.
There's a lot of the American Idol.
Yeah.
A lot of the American Idol people tape themselves every week, and they're, like, posted on YouTube, and you would not believe how many hits it gets. Just from them watching, it's just them taping themselves, whether on the tour bus or doing whatever. But every week I sit there and go look for it just to go watch it because it's funny. It's just them live, you know, doing cool, funny things and being acting like dummies. It's funny. So
right.
You gotta start something like that.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, I've learned a lot in the last couple of weeks just about, you know, YouTube and just and how interesting it is. You know, that if you can actually, when you go on that, there's you can break down what the demographic is, how many women they think, or in what countries. You're getting how many hits you're getting in every country of the world.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. I had sent the video to a friend of mine who lives around the corner from me, but she has friends in Morocco. And William said to me, how come we're getting these hits in Morocco? And I said, well, because I sent them to Sandra, and Sandra sent it to her friends in Morocco. That's that we're getting it. But it's so interesting that all of a sudden, you know, 20 people in Italy or 100 people in Italy are watching it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really given me a lot of things to think about,
yep,
about what I want to try to do and musically what I want to try to do. And
It's very exciting, actually. Not that you make money from it, but artistically you have a forum.
Right.
Yep.
Many options to explore.
Idea. Many.
Absolutely.
Many, many.
Well,
many.
We're getting down to the wire here. Eileen, my darling,
yes.
You are, like, I think, the most candid and one of the most fabulous people to have on the show. And
I
meant what I said in the beginning. You are definitely one of those people who I feel most fortunate to have met.
Oh, God.
There are three people that I can say that off the top of my head about From One Life to Live, not saying that the others aren't,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I'll say you, David.
Susan Firmero.
And Kat.
Yeah.
You all are fantastic and great, and you've all shown Stardish much, much support, which I love. And Melissa, sorry.
Yes.
You know, so I have to say that.
I spoke to Bobby Woods, by the way, and I made sure that he had your, you know, he had your card, and I said, will you call her?
Right. What?
So hopefully you'll be hearing from him.
I hope so, too.
And
that would be really nice to have him on the show.
We will be seeing Jerry this Sunday, I think, at his event.
Oh, you're going to
go
Stars and Strikes?
I'm going to try to, unless there's a Barack Obama event that I might be going to. So,
okay.
If I can raise enough of my own money to go.
Okay.
But I'm going to try to go to Jerry's.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of people there, actually, who you actually just spoke to that are going to be
good.
There. So that would be really really good.
Well, all of you, if I do go to Jerry's event, please just come over to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Who and I'll
like to put a
you know
face
what, though,
to the name.
Listen, this is the thing I want you to do. I want you to email me and tell me if you're definitely going, because if you're definitely going, I'm going to post it for everybody so they know.
Okay.
Okay, so this way there's no hit and miss thing, because I know there's
right.
a list, but, you know, just let me know so I can post it, and
okay.
Georgette will post it and stuff like that.
Okay.
Do another promo for me.
Okay. okay. 1, 2, 3, go. Hi, this is Eileen Christian, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. So tune in.
All
yeah,
right.
So
yeah. This is what I want to ask you.
Yes.
Real quick, when someone says Stardish Radio to you, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
You.
Okay. Your impression of Stardish Radio, I should put it that way. So if somebody asked you, oh, wow, you were on Stardish Radio, tell me, how is that?
Wait, are you talking about the name, the actual name, Stardish
no,
Radio?
No, that you were on the show. So say Bob Woods comes up to you and said, Eileen, I know you did Stardish Radio.
Yes.
Tell me about your experience
okay,
in
this
three
is
words.
What this is what I say. You get to be yourself. You get to be the truest yourself. You know, we play these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even more than a character that I have to offer is me as a human being. And so
mm-hmm.
Really, that's what I love about this, because it's just no holds bar, you know, say whatever you want. And I like that a lot. So
perfect.
Yeah.
That means I'm doing my job.
You are. Absolutely.
All right, sweetheart. Well, I thank
okay.
you for coming back on the show, and I'm going to get in
pleasure.
Touch with you either tomorrow or the following day,
very
where
good.
Georgette and I are going to have a conversation with you.
Okay. Super.
Okay.
Okay.
So everybody,
Eileen.
Go check out that.
Good night.
Back with Barack, and I got the clip on my website. Go check it out, and join the Eileen Christian Support fan page on Facebook, and we'll be in touch.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right, sweetie. Talk to you later.
Night.
Good night.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Love Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.